Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Eric Herzog, Chief Marketing Officer at Infinidat. Eric, welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you very much. We love working with AMD, and we really do appreciate you inviting us to this podcast event. Thank you.
Great. Let's take the opportunity here and let's set the stage and tell us a little bit about Infinidat and maybe share a little bit of your background as well.
Sure. So Infinidat is a high-end enterprise storage company. We are focused on the high-end only. We don't do entry and mid-range solutions. 28% of the Fortune 50 use our technology, even though we're much smaller than the bulk of our competitors. And we very much focus around delivering both technical and business value to our enterprise end users. So think of us as our customers are basically in the Fortune 2000 is the bulk of our customer base and cloud service providers. On myself, I'm almost 70 years old. I've done nothing but storage since I was born. I am at Infinidat now, but right before I came here, I was the CMO and Vice President of Global Channels for IBM Storage Division. Before that, Senior Vice President of Product Management and Product Marketing at EMC. So my background is nothing but storage, and I've done very large companies, IBM, EMC, Seagate, Maxstore. I've also done 7 startups, of which Infinidat is one of them.
Wow, that's an impressive background in storage. And to me, storage has always been one of the pillars of the industry. It's just, there's never enough and it never goes away. And I think now AI is going to be a similar pillar that it's just going to be pervasive through in its demand. So speaking of demand, the data center landscape is changing pretty rapidly. Enterprise IT managers constantly trying to keep up with service delivery, enable business innovation, et cetera, under constrained budgets. What do you think is driving the evolution here?
Well, I think there's a couple things that are driving it. First of all, storage has become a hybrid world where some of your data is on-premise and some of your data is off-premise. Now, obviously, a couple of years ago, everyone thought everything was going to jump to the cloud. And because of costs, most of which people didn't realize, I like to say that cloud storage is the ultimate razor and razor blade, right? Even at Costco or even at Walmart, when you buy those razor blades, they're $50 to $100 and what? You get like 16 of them. Buying one razor is like $10. And the razor lasts for like 20 years. So you certainly spend a lot more. And that's what cloud worked out to be. So one is that it's a hybrid cloud world. Second is that cost still is a driver of enterprise storage. Third is that people are looking for service level agreements. That's nice that you have storage, but do you have a SLA on cyber? Do you have an SLA on availability? Do you have an SLA on performance? I'm spending lots of money for this stuff. I want to make sure it's secure, it's performant, and it's available. So that's driving it. And then clearly, as you just pointed out, the IT skills gap. There aren't enough people in IT, not just in storage, but from our perspective, it's been good for us. We have a very strong play in the storage world on reducing both capital expenditures and operations. In fact, one of our global Fortune 200 companies, when they were using a different storage vendor, 15 storage admins. Now they have Infinidat storage and 20 petabytes more of it than they had with their previous vendor. And all of that storage is being managed with only 4 administrators. So 15 to 4. And the other 11 are all still at that Fortune company working in other areas of IT. So there's a huge IT skills gap. Anytime you look at an IT website, any of the CIO magazines, any sector of IT, there's about IT skills gap. So that is another thing that's driving, and that is related to cost.
Great. You mentioned about 9 different vectors of disruption going on here. That helps explain why it's a never-ending battle to meet capacity while staying in a budget and keeping the footprint, both from a physical standpoint as well as the administrative standpoint. As a leader, how do you see this changing going forward?
It's really not changing. Storage is growing exponentially every year and is not going to stop. Okay. So until the aliens come down and take over the world, I'm sorry, data is going to keep growing. So the good thing is, you're always going to need it. The bad thing is, storage is not inexpensive, and you have to get the right storage. It's all about optimizing your applications, workloads, and use cases. So what are you doing for SAP? How are you helping me with my AI workloads? What are you doing to create seamless integration in a hybrid cloud environment? Those are things that the CIO, the CEO, in fact, cybersecurity is a number 2 concern in the latest Fortune 500 CEO survey. Number 2 is cybersecurity, and cybersecurity impacts anything in a data center. Networks, software, servers, And absolutely storage, because where does all the data of a giant enterprise sit? Oh, wait, it's sitting on the enterprise storage. So if I'm part of the cyber mafia, what am I going to attack? I might want to go after that enterprise storage because it's got all the things I could hold for ransom and charge tons of money for. It's all sitting on the storage. Those are huge concerns that need to be addressed. And it gets worse as more and more storage gets created. So what we've done is we've created the capability of massive consolidation. At one of our Fortune 100 accounts in the finance sector, they had 288 floor tiles of storage from another vendor, now running all the same applications and all the same workloads, 62. That's freed up IT manpower, watts, slots, obviously reduced the capital expenditure because they were going to replace all 288 with our 62, and that saved them about $61 million in capital expenditure. Obviously, it's easier to manage 62 floor tiles than 288. They're roughly $25 billion in the retail space. They went from 24 arrays from three different vendors to four with Infinidat. So that capability of consolidation helps them in a number of ways. One, clearly the IT skills gap. Two, it frees up, as you said, physical space in a data center, which is always a big issue. And power and cooling. Data centers consume something like 4% of the world's power. They got to power it, and then they got to cool it. So going from 288 floor tiles to 62 dramatically lowered the power bill, the cooling bill. We like to call it E squared, economic advantage and environmental advantage together. E squared, That's what we strive for. Help the environment, but also help them economically. And you can do it together.
And you really have to do it to free up the space for real innovation, right? No one has a lot of extra power, extra space in the data center. They have to find a place to do the next thing to help their business innovate. One of those next things is AI. Right? Everyone's looking at how do I integrate AI into my business? What does this mean for Infinidat and for your customers, good and bad?
First of all, in several of the storage analyst surveys, the end user has said they don't want to completely recombobulate their storage infrastructure. They want to try to leverage the storage that they have and use that for AI applications and workloads. So one, we can do that a couple of ways. First of all, we provide both block and file storage in the same physical array. We don't require any extra heads, which add complexity and cost extra money. We have large systems. Our largest single system, which by the way, you can aggregate with one of our partners, Hammerspace, but our largest single system, we're up to 17.2 petabytes in a single 42 rack U. So that gives you a lot of physical space to use in AI. In addition to that, we're looking at some technology around RAG, okay, which RAG is the capability of leveraging the data infrastructure that you already have, whether that be databases or file data, to optimize as an LLM in an SLM, and then obviously on the inferencing side of the AI equation. Now, we go beyond that. We view AI as two things. A, how does Infinidat help optimize AI workloads and applications for the end user? Second thing is, how do we use AI inside of our storage systems to make them easier to manage, to cut the IT resources need, again, helping with the IT skills gap, and of course, to help them save on operational expense because the manpower to run the storage costs them money. So we've done that very extensively with our AI ops technology in Infiniverse. A, we integrate with a data center-wide AI ops packages such as ServiceNow, the VMware technology. So what we do in the storage can be communicated into those packages that service the entire data center. Secondly, we use that to optimize everything from support infrastructure. For example, 65% of our support issues get resolved by us before the end user even knows it. We leverage the AI technology that we generate inside the box to proactively service the box, to let them know they're running out of physical space, to identify performance bottlenecks and gaps. And that's all done with our AI, if you will, AI in the box. Then, of course, we also, as I mentioned, optimize for AI applications or workloads, what we're already doing with our file and block infrastructure, but also with the technology we're getting ready to announce around a RAG, which is, again, is designed to optimize your existing data infrastructure and how it then works with the LLMs and the SLMs and what you need to do from an AI-based application and workload perspective, not AI, in this case, in the storage array, but the AI they use are in their applications and workloads.
Yeah, and that's going to be super important for enterprise AI. I mean, the ability to have more predictable, more repeatable and verifiable AI is going to be a super critical element here. So great solutions, great examples. What do you actually deliver to the market? We've mentioned tiles and boxes and clouds. What do you deliver and how is it differentiated in the market? Because you also mentioned you're high-end focused.
Yeah. So what we do is we have basically two product lines. The InfiniBox product line, which has a hybrid array that's both hard drive and flash, an all-flash array, which of course is flash throughout. We also offer a purpose-built backup appliance, which integrates with all the major modern data protection backup vendors such as Veeam, Veritas, Commvault, IBM Protect, and all the other backup guys that allows you to do the data reduction technology inside of the storage system versus doing it in your server infrastructure. And then our hybrid array actually not only is good for primary storage, but actually for backup storage as well. So the way anyone would determine is if they would want to do the data reduction in their server farms, they would buy an InfiniBox. If they want to do the data reduction on the storage side of the fence to free up server resources to run applications, then they would do it with our InfiniGuard. So we've got a backup solution as well as primary storage solutions. Our performance is unmatched. On our high-end systems, we have as low as 35 microseconds of latency. No other storage vendor is close to that, as documented by storage industry analysts. And just by looking at their public proclamations, we're faster than everybody from that perspective, which impacts all your highly transactional workloads, Mongo, Cassandra, Oracle, SAP, SQL, NoSQL. All those types of applications, workloads, and use cases are in that realm. So we deliver a full-on system. However, if you will, our magic fairy dust is all-around software. We use AMD EPYC-powered chipsets inside of our controller architecture, which is an active-active-active, which allows us to offer 100% availability guaranteed SLA in writing. We also provide guaranteed SLAs on cyber resilience and guaranteed SLAs on performance. So we have a performance guaranteed SLA for our hybrid array. And then obviously, since they're all flash arrays faster, a different. And again, we're mostly global Fortune 2000. So we have several large global fortunes. They've got a performance guarantee on their hybrid and a different performance guarantee on their all flash. And they use that for different workloads. But our magic fairy dust, because we use off-the-shelf components, such as the AMD chip infrastructure that we leverage from you with the EPYC platform, it's all about the software. We have over 100 patents granted. Three of them are for hardware architecture, if you will, hardware deployment, but we don't do custom hardware. So it's really about our architecture, like our active-active-active technology, which, by the way, is all done by software. And then all the other patents are all about our software, the Infuse OS operating system, our InfiniSafe for cyber resistance, our neural cache technology. So we're really heavily storage software-centric, but we understand it as a system level, which is why when you take a look at Gartner Peer Insights, many of them talk about how they've got an Infinidat system that's run for 3, 4, or 5 years and they never touch it, which, by the way, helps reduce your IT manpower and fill your IT skills gap. Think of us as the high-end storage equivalent of the Energizer Bunny. As you know, in that commercial, they show that Energizer battery powering that bunny. It just goes and goes and goes. And that's what our public references have said. And by the way, that's also what the storage analysts have noted in their write-ups of us as well. And then we wrap that all with white glove support and service. And in the Gartner Magic Quadrant, they have pointed out that enterprise end users have told them our support and service is better than anyone else in the industry, even though the smallest competitor we have is a $4 billion company. That's the smallest. And we're way, way smaller than that. But again, 28% of the Fortune 50 buy from us. They buy from us for a reason because of the support and service, what we do with the software side, and all these guaranteed SLAs across everything, including cyber, which is a huge issue these days with all the cyber attacks.
What are the use models that are driving that business? Again, it's targeting high-end, it's targeting the most mission-critical, the places where you demand that white glove. What are the use cases that you see most frequently?
So we see everything from what I'll call the interstitial layer, VMware and other virtualization platforms, containers. We have a strong relationship, not only with VMware in the virtualization side, but a very powerful relationship with Red Hat. We also make sure that we handle all the right applications, workloads, and use cases. Again, each of our customers is assigned a technical advisor, and technical advisor is not tech support. So we have a separate tech support team to handle issues. But the technical advisor's job versus a technical support job, technical advisor's job is to optimize our customers' applications, workloads, and use cases, how to make their SAP work better, how to make that giant file system work better. How can they make sure that if they get warning from their cybersecurity software, something like Microsoft Sentinel or IBM's QRadar, that it automatically engages with our storage system to execute a protocol that helps them with cyber resilience and or cyber recovery if they really do have an attack? So That's what our technical advisors do. And we, by the way, provide that to all the accounts at no charge. Some of our competitors offer technical advisors too, having worked at two of them, which both do, but they charge extra. So we've got that very high touch, high quality, 100% availability guarantee, right? Only two other vendors offer that. The rest don't even offer it. And you certainly can't get that from the cloud. Not that we don't love Amazon and don't love Microsoft. We work with both of them with our InfusOS Cloud Edition software product, which, by the way, last week won an award from Computer Reseller News. And by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that our new Infinidat G4 platforms, both our hybrid and all-flash array, at the FMS trade show won best of show, leveraging our AMD EPIC partnership with the technology we leverage from AMD as the best solution for hyperscaler deployments and implementations. So that's the first award we've won. As Jim, we introduced the product at the very end of May. Here we are at the beginning of August, and we've already won an award. And without counting that, because in the first half of this year, we've won before August, so from the end of June back to January, we won 25 storage awards across the board. Our third generation product, which didn't use AMD, our cyber technology, InfiniSafe, won multiple awards. Our InfusOS Cloud Edition, which won one last week, also happened to win a couple in the first half of the year. So we win those awards. Remember, we're small. Our advertising budget is nowhere close to Dell or IBM or Hitachi or HPE or any of the big vendors. We spend minuscule amounts. So we win these awards because we go out on that field of battle and we win and we deliver the value. We win the Olympic gold medal.
The only thing better than the industry telling you your baby's beautiful is when the customers tell you that. That's great. So you mentioned the collaboration, and thanks for the plug on EPIC. It's always gratifying to hear people doing great things with our technology as well. And people know that AMD has compute engines, storage probably not as much. What is it about a CPU that makes for a good storage device if you have the right software?
First of all, we don't do custom hardware. So unlike almost all our competitors, including the places I've worked in the past, we use off-the-shelf components. So we look for off-the-shelf components, in this case, the CPU, that offers the most threading, the most parallelism so that our software can run in parallel, which helps us optimize from a performance perspective. We obviously evaluate everything for availability. We offer a 100% availability guarantee. So we're on the hook. So the last thing you want is systems going down, because when they go down, guess what? We got to cough up some money to those accounts of ours, and we don't want that. There's a reason why 28% of the Fortune 50 leverage our technology, even though we're much smaller than the other guys, because we can deliver them what they need for those workloads that are most mission and business critical to those enterprises. They know they can rely on us for that. So from a processor perspective on this round, not only being able to leverage it inside of our active controller technology, art, what we call the node, which leverages your CPU technology in, anything we can do to make it a greener data center. So in fact, by leveraging the EPIC platform from a processor perspective, we were able to reduce the power consumption at the processor level by 20%. Now we have other ways to do that. As I mentioned, when you consolidate from 288 floor tiles down to 62, you saved a ton on environmental impact, right, and power. But we also need to do that even at the component level. So by leveraging the EPIC technology, we got not only performance we needed, the multi-threading, the parallelism. For example, our performance with your new chipset without software optimization, just like literally throwing it in the box and throwing our software on there, depending on the type of workload, up to 2.5 times faster. Now, what we do is every time we do a software release, which normally is twice a year, we do a performance optimization play. We not only add new features, and obviously everybody has bugs, we fix our bugs, but we optimize performance. So we project that with your platform in the next two passes, we're probably going to be four times faster than our third generation in both IOPS and bandwidth. Four times, just by switching to your chip and then leveraging your chip and optimizing with our InfusOS, which is our operating system that gives us the resiliency, the availability, and gives us the performance that we need for these high-end workloads. So the AMD chipset was optimal in what we did from a performance perspective, what we did from a helping reduce our power, which we do already with consolidation. But again, any little ounce we can do to give our customers a greener data center. And again, we already have shown this, and we actually did a webinar on this back in April. A green data center is actually a cheaper data center. It's not just about saving the environment. We call it E². We help you do well and do the right thing to make the environment better for all of us, and most importantly, for our kids and our grandkids. So we do that, but at the same time, save money. So why would you not want to do that? and really, quite honestly, lead with saving money, but also help the environment, that's a win for everybody.
Yeah, yep, totally. What comes next? What's the next big thing?
Obviously, AI is still in its early stages. Cyber is never going to stop. Just to give an example, Jim, the impact estimated by security people, not by the storage market, is the cost to enterprises this year will be $9.5 trillion for cyber. Mm-hmm. As you saw earlier, the AT&T, they didn't release a number, but 100 million accounts were impacted. In Q1, United Health Group, and there are laws now both here and in Europe that if you have a cyber attack, you have to file public documentation. So UHG did. What was the impact? $1.8 billion of a cyber attack. And that's just one company. In Q4, of course, the big one was MGM Resorts, owners of the MGM Grand in Vegas and other hotels. And the impact to them was $128 million. Cyber is a nut. While it's already here, it's just like capacity. Capacity never abates. So the trends that we see are clearly storage continue to grow unabated. Cyber, because it's just an incredible attack vector from a criminal, but even from a country perspective, as you've seen in some of the articles where this country literally attacked the other country's infrastructure by trying to turn off their power grid. So that's not changing either. The reality is storage is always bigger, faster, better, cheaper. Bigger, more capacity, faster, up. I've never heard a CIO say, yeah, I'd really like that Oracle to be slower, or that Oracle's fast enough. And guess what? The guys who are using it in the finance sector, the manufacturing sector, and the other areas of the company, they're always saying, oh, no, we got to go faster. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do other things. So speed is always there. Better usually means better software and obviously things like better availability. I remember when storage systems, man, if you were 5'9", you were freaking a big deal. Now 5'9", what a joke. The thing about storage, as you said, it's like a pillar, except this pillar grows. This pillar is always under attack. This pillar, they want it to be shiny every single day. And that's the way storage is. Things just come in waves. And the good thing to do if you're a storage guy, and I am a native Californian, even though I don't serve, you don't fight waves, you freaking ride them. So cyber is a wave, capacity is a wave, performance is a wave. And by the way, these are waves that just keep happening every couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, sometimes people change the name, but it's still the same. When you look at it, you go, that looks just like, but it still is a wave. It's cresting. I see the white foam on the wave, but they're not calling a wave anymore. They're calling it a Hinkelmeyer. And that happens all the time in storage. It's never going to change.
So where do we point people to learn more about your points of view and about InfiniDAP?
A couple of things. First of all, you guys will be presenting at the VMworld Explorer conference at the very end of the month. And guess what? We've got a pedestal in your booth. Thank you very much. We'll also be presenting at a couple other booths on our technology. Of course, you can always visit us at www.infinidat.com or reach out to your favorite local reseller. We deliver 90% of our technology through our channel partners. So all those ways are great ways to find out about Infinidat.
Great. Love pulling in the channel here. Eric, this has been a fantastic, lively, super illustrative discussion. So thanks so much for sharing it with us today.
Great. Thank you. And we really appreciate AMD. In fact, we're doing a global roadshow to showcase our new G4 platforms, which leverage the AMD EPYC technology. And you guys will be joining us in San Francisco. You'll be joining us in New York. You'll be joining us in London and in Milan on our global roadshow. So we appreciate AMD coming. And you guys will be making a presentation in all four of those cities, talking about how you work with us and how InfiniDAT leverages AMD's EPYC platforms to deliver the best in storage in the world.
Fantastic. Great place to be able to meet InfiniDAT. So thank you so much for the discussion, and thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.